This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Tammy Fitzgerald back on the program with us. Tammy is Executive Director of the NC Values Coalition. She formerly served as Chairwoman of Vote for Marriage NC, which was the official referendum committee that led the successful passage of North Carolina's Marriage Protection Amendment in May 2012. Tammy is back to talk about the escalating legal threat to North Carolina's marriage laws, including the marriage amendment that was approved by 61% of North Carolinians in 2012. We will be talking about the four federal lawsuits challenging North Carolina's marriage laws, as well as the recent decision by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit involving a similar challenge to Virginia's marriage laws and what that means for our state. Tammy, welcome back to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, John.
Within about 2 hours of the release of the Fourth Circuit's opinion, North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper held a press conference announcing that he and the Attorney General's office would no longer defend North Carolina's marriage laws, including our constitutional amendment, and he referred to any such efforts to do so as, and I quote, futile. Knowing that Attorney General Cooper has publicly expressed his support for the redefinition of marriage and served last year as the keynote speaker at an annual fundraiser for Equality North Carolina, which is a statewide pro-homosexual lobbying group, I suppose this comes as little surprise, but don't you consider his refusal to defend our state marriage laws and our Constitution a dereliction of his duty?
Well, absolutely, John. I mean, Roy Cooper barely waited for the ink to dry on the Fourth Circuit's opinion before he gathered the press to announce that he's going to no longer defend North Carolina's marriage amendment. But not only that, he indicated he intends to help overturn the amendment. He said he would no longer stand in the way of the case's proceeding, which means he's not going to object to the legal arguments put forward by the ACLU and their homosexual clients. But it also means that he's not even going to argue to stop the ACLU from concluding the case in their favor. So it could even mean that he would argue that our amendment should be overturned by the courts. And we understand that attorneys general have some discretion in deciding which laws to defend, but in the case like this, where you have a state marriage amendment, a part of the Constitution that was voted on by the people of North Carolina on the ballot, overwhelmingly by 61%, you would think that the Attorney General would exercise his duties as Attorney General to defend the will of the people, and yet he's refused to do so, and we think that's outrageous.
Well, I definitely share your opinion on that, and I think it's interesting to note that when he made this announcement, he said that he thought, again, that it would be futile for North Carolina to continue to defend our laws and our constitutional amendment, but at the same time, he also said that he thought this issue would ultimately be determined and decided by the United States Supreme Court. So there was really a recognition that one of these cases, either the case out of Virginia or a case out of Utah or Oklahoma, is going to make it up to the United States Supreme Court. So, as you said, this challenge to Virginia's marriage amendment is still very much in process. It could be the case that goes to the Supreme Court, but our Attorney General has just willingly removed himself from representing the state.
Absolutely, John. I mean, until there is a final decision in the court of last authority on the Bostick case from Virginia, Roy Cooper should be in the fight representing the people. And yet what he has done has removed himself from the fight. In other words, he's not even going to file amicus briefs in the Supreme Court if the Bostick case does go to the Supreme Court. And I might point out that Roy Cooper didn't file an amicus brief in the Bostick case when it was before the Fourth Circuit. He hasn't filed an amicus brief in any of the other circuit courts of appeal, and there are six in all, in addition to the Fourth Circuit, where cases are on appeal. And most of the state attorneys general have filed briefs in those cases.
Well, Tammy, I'm sure our listeners are wondering, what in the world can we do in North Carolina to defend marriage, our marriage laws, and the constitutional amendment that they worked so hard to pass back in 2012? Clearly, there are a couple of additional options for parties, state leaders in North Carolina to intervene in these cases. You and I actually worked on a piece of legislation at the end of the 2013 legislative session that gives our legislative leaders the authority to jointly intervene to defend the laws of the state and the Constitution in challenges just like this. So what do you believe is going to happen with the governor and our legislative leaders?
Well, John, as you pointed out, fortunately, there are other leaders in the state who can intervene in this case and should intervene. The governor himself clearly has authority to intervene, especially when the attorney general has removed himself from the defense of the case. And so we hope that Governor McCrory will step forward and lead on the issue of protecting marriage. But as you also pointed out, you and I worked on this new statute that would allow the leader of the Senate and the House to agree on intervening on behalf of the people of North Carolina, and that way the General Assembly could represent the people, especially when the Attorney General has refused to do so. So we're hoping that that will happen. And John, you know, our listeners should feel free to write a little letter encouraging them to do that. And I certainly expect that one of them will. Either the governor or the legislature will step forward to defend the voters of the state.
Well, I would join you in that encouragement, too. I know that both the North Carolina Values Coalition and the North Carolina Family Policy Council have written formal letters to both the governor and our legislative leaders, really urging them to get involved directly in these cases, to intervene as defendants. So they definitely need to hear from folks all across the state who are concerned about this, and as a word of encouragement for them to get involved and to defend our Constitution. Well, and most legal experts do believe that the United States Supreme Court will eventually rule on the constitutionality of state marriage laws, including marriage amendments, either by taking up the Virginia marriage case or a case from another state, Utah or Oklahoma, which were the subject of lawsuits in the Tenth Circuit. What are some of the different ways, Tammy, that you believe the High Court could make a determination in one of these cases or another case that may make its way up to the Supreme Court?
Well, John, there are a number of outcomes that are possible. I mean, one outcome is that the U.S. Supreme Court won't even take up a state marriage amendment case. And if that happens, then, whatever has happened in the circuit courts will be law. And we have not had a circuit court yet rule in favor of a state marriage amendment. Now, we're hopeful that will happen in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, but we haven't had it in the two cases that have come down from circuit courts. They've both ruled against state marriage amendments. So the U.S. Supreme Court could refuse to take up a case if there isn't a diversity between these circuits, if we don't at least have one circuit rule for a state marriage amendment. Another outcome is that they do take up the case either from Utah or from Virginia, and they decide in favor of state marriage amendments. Now, that's completely conceivable because in the Windsor case that came out from the U.S. Supreme Court last summer, Justice Kennedy seemed to recognize in the opinion that by authority and precedent and really under the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, the states have always had the authority to regulate marriage policy for themselves. And so I believe that was a major affirmation, if not the holding of the case, that it's the state's authority to regulate marriage. And even in the Windsor case, which was a case that came out of New York, the court said that it is not lawful for the federal government to tip the scales in favor of traditional marriage in a state like New York, where same-sex marriage is legal. And what we hope the Supreme Court will decide is that it likewise is not lawful for the federal government to tip the scales in favor of same-sex marriage in a state like North Carolina, where traditional marriage is legal. Of course, on the opposite end of the scale is the other outcome, which we hope doesn't happen. the Supreme Court could decide that the fundamental right to marry includes same-sex marriage, just like the Fourth Circuit and the Tenth Circuit have both decided. And so we hope that certainly is not the outcome. We think that the result of having the U.S. Supreme Court push down a decision of this importance upon the nation will be tumultuous. And we believe that the government enforcement that will be necessary to enforce this new definition of marriage on an unwilling populace will be unprecedented.
Well, that's a very helpful overview of sort of where we stand at this point. And I think that legal experts anticipate that one of these cases is going to make its way up to the Supreme Court sooner rather than later, and that the Supreme Court will be compelled to address this issue because, it, as you say, it has caused so much controversy and just really kind of chaos across the nation. Well, Tammy, as we close our conversation, what advice would you give to our listeners who are watching this national marriage battle and who feel discouraged as they see one court after another strike down state marriage laws and even constitutional amendments where a majority of the voters in those states went to the polls and said, we believe that it is important to place the definition of marriage as only the union of one man and one woman in our state constitution? What should we be praying for specifically here in North Carolina in light of all that's going on?
Well, John, I think the most important message I could say to people is don't give up hope. There is hope. And there's no wrong side of history unless people of moral integrity choose to sit idly by. And we have history and truth on our side in terms of how to define marriage. So you can look at the pro-life movement. You know, back in the 1980s, it was so unpopular to be pro-life that if you ran as a candidate back then and said you were pro-life, it was like committing political suicide. The majority of people in the country were pro-choice, especially the young people, and all the elites were calling people stupid who were pro-life. They said, you're on the wrong side of history. And even churches were deciding that it was okay to be pro-choice. But now, look where we've come. The majority of people in the country are pro-life. An overwhelming majority of the young people are pro-life, more than their parents. Now it's more popular to run as a pro-life candidate than a pro-choice candidate. And a lot of churches have come back to a foundational view of being pro-life. And so what has happened is that the hearts and minds of the culture have been won on the issue. And so don't give up on marriage. Even if we lose the battle in the courts, we still have the opportunity to win the hearts and minds of Americans and of our world culture through talking to them about the benefits of marriage, the permanent aspects of marriage, how it benefits children, how it benefits our society, and how it pleases God to recognize His definition of marriage.
Well, I think those are great words of encouragement, and I just join you in that and would just ask our listeners to just continue to pray about this issue. Pray that the hearts and the minds of these judges that are ruling in these cases, that the attorneys who are representing the states with marriage amendments do so effectively, and that ultimately that God will be glorified and honored in what transpires here.
John, I just wanted to add, to ask people to pray for, particularly in our four lawsuits in North Carolina, to pray for the attorneys representing the defendants in those cases. And so specifically pray for those registers of deeds and for their counties of attorneys, that they would have courage and that they would not give up hope. That would be a great thing to pray.
Well, great. Thank you for that, Tammy. That's important because those are the folks that are really on the front lines in these lawsuits. Well, Tammy, we're nearly out of time for this week. I really appreciate you taking so much time to talk with us. Where can they go to get more information about the Values Coalition?
Thank you, John. They can go to ncvalues.org. That's ncvalues.org. And we do have a Facebook page and a Twitter page. So thank you so much for the opportunity. The North Carolina Family Policy Council is very essential to the issues that affect the families of our state. And I thank you for it.
Well, thank you, Tammy. And it is a real pleasure and honor to be able to work side by side with you and the North Carolina Values Coalition. And thanks again for being on Family Policy Matters.
Thank you, John.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.